We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Mully and Hanley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
I'm sure you guys got all the answers.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
The Dodgers win the National League pennant. The Cubs lose in 5 games.
It was never really a game, was it?
It never felt like they were in that series and certainly weren't in that game. And I'm screaming, you got to get Q out of there. Oh, Rondon? Maybe. You don't have to get him out of there.
Hernandez sends one deep, and that ball is gone! It's a grand slam!
Rondon didn't make the playoff roster of the first series, didn't meet the moment in the pivotal game of the weekend, and here you go, hand them the ball, and you knew bad things were going to happen, and bad things happened.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Should this season be considered a success or a disappointment?
I think it's a success to be able to do something that teams normally don't do, which is to win your division after a long playoff run. It was a lot of years Cub fans would have dreamt of that kind of a season.
Even though there's an emptiness, to think that I would see this kind of success in getting to an NLCS 3 consecutive seasons in a sport where you don't see that happen for any team, let alone the Cubs, it's absolutely a success.
What's up, Chicago?
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
Well,
it's easy to say success, but it's difficult to say it now. I mean, they lost 11-1 last night, and they were run out of the NLCS by a 4-1 margin. It only took 5 games for the Dodgers to seal themselves a spot in the World Series. And on the other side of the bracket, obviously, you've got the series shifting back to Houston with the Yankees having won the 3 games at home. So they lead the series 3-2, still trying to figure out a way to win in Houston. And then you'll determine whether it'll be the number 2 market, the number 2 payroll against the number 1 market and the number 1 payroll in terms of television markets against New York's number 1, but the
sure.
Dodgers are number 2,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in payroll, it's the Dodgers against New York. The idea of the Yankees being the second highest payroll in the World Series.
What is wrong with this
shocking
world?
Shocking to the system.
Yeah.
And Houston, they're like the 4th television market, right? So, I mean, it should be.
Is that right?
I think they are. It's hard to believe. You've been to Houston. It isn't. It's like Jacksonville. It's not really a city as much as a sprawl.
Yeah, it's just everything's spread out.
There's like 3 different kind of minor, like downtown areas or different areas within Houston.
Is the downtown itself? It seems like it's 8 square blocks.
Yes, it's a very small downtown. But the area out by the, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sprawl. And as a result, that seems to be, you know, a lot of people down there in the suburbs, et cetera. So it's not suburbs, though. It's all kind of this giant landmass, which Chicago, if you included all the suburbs, that would be basically what Houston is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just this giant area. It's like, you know, how L.A. has Orange County and all that. You know, it's basically San Diego up to
Dallas has Fort Worth.
Dallas does have Fort Worth.
Everything's that same thing. Everything in Texas is spread out.
Yeah, Texas is just.
You don't need to do
Oh, my God. Yeah. I knew a guy that lived like in a tiny dot somewhere in the middle of Texas. It was like the guy had to go. He had to drive like 3 hours to get to the nearest airport.
John Lackey?
How do you do that? Doesn't Lackey live near, I think he's like near Austin, right? Which is, honest to God, the only place in Texas where I think I could live. Austin's a beautiful area.
Beautiful. Lake area.
Yeah, there's like a lot of
university,
cool
capital.
There's a lot going on.
And then the rest of the state you can have.
Well, I mean, there's different areas in Texas where you can have a good time, and there's a lot of fun. I know you don't like San Antonio. I've had good fun in San Antonio. It's very close to Austin. You can drive between those two if you ever want to go on vacation. I'm not a huge fan of Houston. Dallas, I could take or leave, but I've had good times in Dallas. Yeah. It's not bad.
Like you, I've done the Texas Triangle too many times to really appreciate anything.
That's the NBA, and that's part. It's one of the trips you take where you go to the Texas Triangle, and it's a bit much.
Yeah, too much Texas in a too short a period of time.
It's too much Texas in 5 days or whatever it is.
But we have Cubs solutions and questions and answers to figure out.
And we asked what would your priority be? Where would you start, I should say? Not why, because you need to. And we talked about it this morning. I think everybody wants to know who's your closer, how you're going to fix your bullpen, what the starting lineup looks like, right? You need a pitcher or two. If indeed you lose Jake, as everyone is predicting, John Lackey coming back to be a fifth starter?
No,
it's hard to imagine.
Back,
no. but there are teams that would have him.
Yeah, I think John's probably thrown his last pitch, and the visual, they said he was not anywhere near the media could get him. He was in the off limits area.
Yeah.
But he still has baseball pants, and he was shirtless in the post game, and he was just like...
Who was the only guy that was available? Was it
Chris Bryant, when the media was allowed into the big palatial clubhouse, Chris Bryant was the only regular in front of his cubicle, ready to go answer all questions, and eventually other guys, you know, sauntered out at some point, but...
You got to face the music.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the leadoff spot, you know, who's going to lead off for this team next year?
He's not on the roster currently.
Schwarber?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
I like that. The Yankees still have Schwarber fascination. Can you make a deal out there if they still think
would that... they still be baby bombers if they had?
With that short porch in the right field, and here comes Babe Schwarber in the with left-handed bat.
Let's try Charlie. Charlie's on with Molly and Hanley. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. I guess I could be upset about the way they lost this series, but really, to be honest with you, if you think about it as a Cubs fan. And the disappointment that you've had before this team came along, before this team was built, to get to where they were at is just amazing there in today's baseball, in today's baseball world there. I mean, they've made it to the championship game in the NL 3 years in a row. They won the World Series in a seven-game series. They just it looked like they didn't have any more, and they've got a lot of questions to answer with the pitching, the relief pitching, and the closer. But they've got a young team. They've got a lot of young players. They've got a good building block. I mean, I see them being better next year because I got a feeling that they'll do something about that in the off season if they can. I'm sure they will. But I'm not going to be disappointed in this season. I'm not going to be disappointed at all. I mean, they gave you what you wanted. They told you they were going to win the World Series. They had a timeline. They had a plan, and they did it. This was a bad way to lose. It was a bad way to go out. But you're looking at the team that they lost to. And to me, you're looking at the World Series champion. I don't care if New York or Houston comes out of the American League.
Have you watched a lot of the AL playoffs?
I know that the Yankees came back there. They're good. They're a good team. But I just think that the best team right there is the Dodgers.
And they get a few days to sit back and wait to see who they're playing, and that seemed to help them.
That seemed to work for them the last time.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie.
All right, buddy. Yeah, I just think, you know, I'm done. I'm out of the prediction game. Val is in Sandwich. Good morning, Val.
Good morning. Hey, I know that we've got to get, you know, our pitching in order, so I'm not even going to talk about that. But I think that part of our problem this year was the, as my husband and I call it, Schwarber experiment that just never showed anything good. And I think that the outfield being in the state it was just really kind of exasperated everything at the end of the year. We didn't play Almora as much as we should have, and as much as I like Hayward, he's got to get something done over this winter, or we're not going to have.
He did that already.
He did that.
Can he go to? You know that's an interesting point, Val. But I mean, what's he going to get done? He did that. He was. Let's be honest. Embarrassed by what happened a year ago. So he went to Arizona and he worked on his swing
for
and he
3 months.
Broke things down.
I mean, don't you think you would exhaust every possibility of whatever you're trying to do to change your mechanics and your swing and everything else? But if you don't do it again, do you expect anything different? So I guess.
I heard Gary Sheffield on the pregame, like, I don't know, two or three games ago, say, bring him and Schwarber to me in half an hour. I'd have him up and running and hitting. I know exactly what's wrong with those guys.
Something like that. They need more peds.
I'd call the guy.
Gary Sheffield providing needles.
Wow. There you go. Flintstone vitamins.
Hey, I'd call the guy. I'd call the guy because, you know,
if he's that confident.
Right. It's maybe he knows something that people don't know. Let's try Steve. Steve's in Sugar Grove. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Hey, as a Cardinals fan, I just want to tell all the Cubs fans, look at the bright side. There's only 6 years left of Haywood's contract now.
Wow.
There you go. Thanks for trolling, Steve.
Yeah, that's good.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's a well-earned
That's what
troll.
You need today. Yeah.
312-644-6767. Yeah, aren't you entitled to troll if you're a Cardinals fan sitting there munching on your own heart?
Call KMOX, see if they'll pick up the phone.
Okay. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You want to emphasize the importance of a good start going into next season, and whatever that means to you coming during this offseason to get ready for the next year, I wanted them to be cognizant of that.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's the voice of Joe Madden, and he's already thinking next year because this year's over.
He mentioned more platooning early in the season. Does that mean for guys like Chris Bryant, who got fatigued, would you see more Tommy La Stella at third? Or, you know, Anthony Rizzo, who's the guy who gives Anthony Rizzo a spell at first base?
Maybe Chris Bryant. Anthony Rizzo did Schwartz. Run out of gas, right?
Seemingly. But Chris Bryant actually said he was tired and beat. Yeah. And
Anthony Rizzo went jogging afterward.
Yeah, he was running, running laps right now.
Maybe he shouldn't have been jogging after the game. He would have gotten more hits.
Yeah, he had a rough series. No shadow of a doubt.
They both did. Neither
Chris Bryant, by the end of it, he, you know, got a double, a single, a homer. You know, he kind of managed to put some hits up, so it doesn't look as bad. It wasn't very good, but it doesn't look as bad. Anthony Rizzo, from the moment he did the bloop single respect me thing, boy.
That was pretty much it for him.
He walked maybe, got hit by a pitch. Did he get a hit at that, after that? It was not many.
Bryant was 8 for 40, a .200 average with 3 extra base hits. Rizzo, 5 of 37, 135 with 2 extra base hits.
Rizzo, that's for the whole thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, postseason. Rizzo, 6 RBI to Bryant's 3. Both had 14 strikeouts, and Rizzo walked twice to Chris Bryant's 1.
All right.
You'd hope for better.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Frank. Frank is on with Mully and Hanley. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, guys. Three quick things. One, first of all, I'm not disappointed. I think they had a nice run, and I don't think it's over. The first thing I think Theo needs to do is fix the bullpen. The second thing, I don't understand why they don't lead off Elmora or give the kid a shot. I think he's pooped himself. And three is we have too many for sure outs. When you got all or nothing in Baez and Schwarberg, and you get nothing from Hayward, and then you got the pitcher spot, that's 4 turns in the batting order. So now you're counting on 5 guys to do the hitting, to do the damage, which isn't going to happen.
That certainly didn't happen. And, we've talked about it before. Hayward is, you know, again, this is the second year running where you've had to bench him in the playoffs. And the reason is because the hits are harder to come by. So when you got all the bats going, you can afford to have a guy in the lineup who doesn't hit. But when you don't have the bats going, you can't have, weak grounders is a signature of your right fielder. I mean, that is usually the corner outfield positions and the corner infield positions are where you get the
your
most power.
Yeah.
And it's great that they got a catcher who can provide a lot of that, but when guys aren't hitting, it's hard to carry that bat in the lineup.
But that said, Mully, we had a texter saying, "What do you do with him? Make him a fourth outfielder? He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Do anything.
So
is
now he a defensive replacement who starts once or twice a week?
Wow.
And the money screams otherwise. And how does he deal with that?
He obviously didn't deal with it well last year.
Right.
I think that was a good thing. And then you saw him go to Arizona and put in all the work and, you know, came back and started the year okay.
You got middling results early and not so much at the end.
Right. And now it's happened again. So I wonder where that leaves you. I wonder what happens to him. Does his confidence start getting shaken when he, you know, did, I mean, I guess the question is, you know, did he know that this was a possibility, and is that why he came here? Because he could hide in a lineup of stars. And if it was left for him to be the star of stars, he knew that that wasn't going to work out for him. It's a weird one because he's been even worse than you thought. Right?
But you went from a small market, and I know it's the baseball mecca of the world, you know, Steve, our trolling Cardinal caller. Yes. And one of our texters said, Steve can't even count how many years are left on the contract. And by the way, the Cardinals offered him more money to stick around. He still said no.
But they were kind of desperate, weren't they?
Right.
And that was one of the great things about that particular offseason, because you signed him and you signed Lackey and you hurt the Cardinals in two different spots. But does it ultimately end up hurting you in terms of Jason Heyward being – I mean, listen, it's an absurd amount of money. But how do we set expectations for players? By the investment in them? Be it the contract or what they gave up to get him. And it's
I mean, is this the guy moving forward? Is this who he is? It's 2 years
running.
Well,
now he's what, 28, heading to 29.
Right.
You know,
the money's dead money. So now you have to make your best baseball decision if that is truly a fourth outfielder defensive replacement, but really how does he handle it?
Shouldn't he be exhausted? We talk about different guys that were tired. I mean, shouldn't he be exhausted because he worked the entire offseason?
Yeah.
I mean, he really did. He went out there. He did all that he could to try to change things up. This is shocking. Anthony Rizzo, 1 of 19 in the NLCS. That is a 0.059. He had 8 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the only guy driving runs in, such as it was early in the Washington series. And then, as you said, after Respect Me, there was zippity-doo-dah.
Mark is in Sterling. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Love your show. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
Mark. I agree with Peter Gammons with the other callers. I mean, we've had a great 3-year run here. I think we're going to be good again next year, but if we all know that we need to get the bullpen pitching, we need to have a problem there. But my biggest concern is what?
You're breaking up, Mark. Yeah, you're.
The offense? I think he's saying the offense is what worries him.
It should,
yeah. But I mean. Yeah, it should.
They scored every run by the home run, right to the bitter end, and right to Chris Bryant's Aramis Ramirez round tripper yesterday.
Wow. Boy, that's a gratuitous shot at Chris Bryant there, pal.
I said it to you earlier, so I thought I might as well.
I just didn't think you'd say that.
That was one of those, who cares, I got a home run in the postseason.
Sammy decided to pad his stats today. Wow.
No, I mean, just...
I didn't think it was coming from you.
It didn't mean anything. It didn't, you know, if you could...
I said it earlier.
If you could have timed it better.
I was surprised by it then. I never thought you'd go out of the air with it.
Well, what a...
Crowley is on the north side. There he is. Hi, Crowley.
Paul Crowley Gene from Bartlett, Illinois.
That's sadly, Crowley, that's the last time we play it for you.
Relish that. You're not going to be...
deleting it right now.
Oh, boy.
There's no ring ceremony next year, so...
That's rough.
Come on, you can't delete that. You're killing me.
It never happened.
We're moving on to 2018. Sorry, yeah.
You know, guys, just a couple quick points I want to make about the season. It was obviously a success. You take a look at how difficult it is to make it back to the playoffs, and they did it. You remember the San Francisco Giants and the amazing run they went on. They won 3 World Series, but the next season they were absolute garbage, except for even number years. So as long as Theo's at the wheel, I'm absolutely fine with what's going to happen. Obviously, we know what moves have to be made. Those moves will be made. And like I said, we're in the golden era of Cubs baseball. NLCS is in the World Series, and we're not done. So I just wanted to thank you guys. I love your show. I love being able to call in. And Dustin, you guys, I look forward to seeing you guys at CubsCon.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Crowley, thank you, buddy. Thanks, Crowley. Love having you, and we won't delete your open. Don't worry.
Yeah, he did mention me there,
mentioned you guys and Dustin. I'm more likable than Dustin.
Well, but not to a lifelong Cub fan.
I don't care about those people.
I know.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
That's how the whole thing goes.
Crowley doesn't want to have a beer with that kind of attitude.
He actually listens to the show, so he gets it. He knows you're unlikable.
Mully, the second the final out was recorded last night, I heard fireworks.
Where?
By my house.
35th and Shield.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
I was Brooks laughing. Boyer. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Brooks Boyer sitting down there at the guaranteed rate, just ready to hit the button.
The scoreboard went
off. Yeah, exactly.
They were ready the second. I was like,
There's guys up the dial, actually.
Listen, I'm not joking about this. Do you think there was a sense of relief that Quintana didn't bail out the Cubs? You know what I mean? Like, that was a big move for the White Sox to trade Quintana. And even though they got a great return and one that gives Theo hesitation, I wonder if that wasn't kind of a, whew, okay, that worked.
So for the Sox fans that were rooting for Quintana, that's probably gone next year, right?
Yeah, just now.
I mean, I'm a big Hugh guy. I'll always be a fan of
Hugh. Now you just got to root for Eloy Jimenez to blow out a knee. What?
Wow. Jesus. Get rid of Chris Bryant.
That's unbelievable. Jesus. No, he said it about Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox player.
I know, that too.
Yeah, now we're starting a whole war.
20-year-old, Brian.
That
escalated pretty quickly.
Get him the hell out.
Get him out. Get the hell out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, we made up during the break, so everything's good.
Texter, let's get it on. Who's better in 2020, Cubs or Sox? Sox, baby!
Yeah, it's the only... That's 2020. Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Well, I'll see you in 3 years. What?
God willing, and the creek don't rise. What?
Oh, boy. It's a hard argument. We're going to talk to Joe Fortenbaugh. We want to bring Joe into the conversation, find out how the betting went down. We're really interested in what's the future.
Well,
look
Z has to get some money back for the 8-1 Cubs ticket he's not cashing. So he's got to find a way to make up for that.
Like
I gave everybody a winning parlay last night, by the way. I know we always forget that.
You gave us the over. Did you go with the Dodgers?
I was never so sure in my life.
You didn't bet it.
Than I was on that bet last night.
You didn't bet it.
Sadly, I only had $68 in the Bovada account.
You were going to bet the Dodgers?
All 68 was bet on Toronto -8 in the first half against the Bulls.
That was his big...
And I also told everybody over Cubs, and that was in the seventh. That was seven, over under seven.
I was hoping you didn't bet the Dodgers in the over, because then I'd have an issue with you.
That was like the third inning. I covered that one.
Help.
312-644.
Kike Hernandez apparently had the over, too.
6767 is the number. We're going to get to all your phone calls, but we'll bring in Joe Fortenbaugh next. Molly and Hanley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has the lowest tire prices right now. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Here with you this morning. Thank you for having me. How's everyone doing today?
Well, there's a little bit of a hangover effect from the Cubs losing, and it's been a long week of late nights, and you come up short 11-1.
We hope they're signing up to the Giants plan every other year.
Yeah,
we'll take that.
you know what though, and obviously any fan base, anyone in this situation this morning that Cubs fans are in, it's totally understandable. It's a total bummer, but when you get the opportunity to take a few steps back and look at the situation as a whole, the Cubs have been to the NLCS 3 years in a row, and they've got a World Series win in the process. Like, that's a pretty good spot to be in with all that young talent. That's not going to make anybody feel better today. I get it. But when you head into spring training next year, that's definitely one of your top storylines.
That's your perspective, even though some Texters are pointing out they're 5-11 in NLCS series. You know what? 5 years ago, that wasn't even a possibility. So good luck. I mean, come on.
I mean, it's a great point. And that Dodger team, let's be honest, who's going to stop them? I get that the Cubs aren't, and there was some terrible umpiring, which I don't need to get into with you guys. I'm sure you've been all over it. But bottom line there, that Dodger team, I don't know who's stopping them. I don't know who is going to stop them with the way they're playing right now. They look fantastic. Maybe this is just their year. But like I see in this picture everywhere of the guy at Wrigley, I think it's fantastic. Shirt that says, there's always last year. Dynamite stuff.
Yeah, that's the best. That's also the front page of the Sun Times, which is, it's just a great cover to have, because it's a funny line and all that. And you're right, they won one. And we should mention, Joe, that not only are you working at 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, but people should download the Sharp 600 podcast on iTunes. That is a must listen. So shall we get to some investing, Joe?
We should. We should, or we shall. Let's start with college, where these picks have actually been winning a little bit. I got the marquee game for you right here. It's North Texas and Florida Atlantic. I'm sure that in between Cubs Dodgers talk,
how's that?
Has been all over this game. So I don't know how much I can add.
This truly is a Joe special.
Yeah, I figured I'd come out swinging today, get a couple laughs out of everybody. But we're gonna go with North Texas, Florida Atlantic. This game opened Florida Atlantic minus 6.5. It's been bet down to North Texas plus 3.5 for really good reason. Obviously, we're going to be on the North Texas mean green here, so we're going to take the points. You've got a series where between these two teams, North Texas has won each of the last four games between the two. They've been cooking with gas the last few weeks. They've been covering spreads. And when you take a look at Florida Atlantic, they are awful in terms of their last 26 games when they're in the favorite role. Not a team that's in the favorite role much, but the last 26 times they've been a favorite, they're 5-20-1 against the spread. They are not built to play in this role. And that's why you see the spread moving towards North Texas. In addition to that, Florida Atlantic, 3-13-1 against the number over the last 17 home dates. So we'll take the 3.5 with North Texas. I think this game, we get the mean green to win it outright. Game number two, a little bit more marquee depending on who you are, but it's going to be Notre Dame and USC. Mm. Now, outside of Sam Darnold and a few other players on this roster, USC is just overrated. And people are finally starting to realize that. But Darnold has covered up a lot of problems for this team. Now, the Trojans needed overtime to get by a mediocre Texas team, and they needed that. That was a home game as well. They struggled in Berkeley the following week against the Cal program that's rebuilding. They lost in Pullman against Washington State, and then they escaped against Utah last week in L.A. by just 1 point. So to nobody's surprise, they're 0-5 against the spread over the last five outings, 3-9 against the spread over their last 12 road dates. But here's the kicker in this game. This is going to be the eighth consecutive week that USC has played football. They have not had a break. Meanwhile, you got Notre Dame coming off the bye week, so they've had 2 weeks to get ready. And this might be the most underrated team in the country. They've only got one loss, but that's against a really good Georgia team, as we've come to find out over the last few weeks. So you've got a spread sitting at 3. We'll take the Fighting Irish minus 3 over the Trojans. Game number 3 in college football, Wake Forest plus 5.5 over Georgia Tech. This is a very popular game amongst the sharper minds in Vegas. Opened Georgia Tech minus 8.5. It's now all the way down to Wake Forest plus 5.5 for good reason. You got a sandwich spot here for Georgia Tech. Last week, they lost at the buzzer against Miami by 1 point. There's a total letdown effect here. And as you're trying to get over that, you've got a game where they're going to play at Clemson next week. So you're coming off the letdown. You've got a potential look ahead. Here comes Wake Forest, who's had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. And that's the key when you go against Georgia Tech's triple option or Navy's triple option or Air Force's triple option. The extra prep time is what helps, because you've got to be disciplined against defenses like that, or offenses like that, excuse me. So we're going to go ahead and take 5.5 with Wake Forest in this spot, 8-2 against the spread over their last 10 road games. Final one for you in college. Actually, I got two more I'll run down. Arizona minus 2.5 at Cal. Anyone who's watched any of this Pac-12 football the last few weeks, Arizona switched to a sophomore quarterback 2 weeks ago. His name's Khalil Tate. He's out of Inglewood. Even if you don't bet this game, watch this game. And now that you've heard that, go ahead and bet it as well and take Arizona minus the 2.5. This kid's insane. The last 2 weeks, as a quarterback, he's run for 557 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he's done that on only 29 carries. Meanwhile, he's completing 80% of his passes. He doesn't throw interceptions. Arizona's won and covered each of the last two games as underdogs against Colorado and UCLA. This Cal program is definitely on the rise. They play right across the bay from me. I love what Justin Wilcox has cooking. But last week when they upset Washington State, they had to get ready for this spread them out, up-tempo, run-and-gun offense. Now you've got to deal with a mobile quarterback who loves to run the ball. That is a major departure in game plans. I don't think Cal's going to be ready for this one. Lay the 2.5 with Arizona. So, the four games, North Texas plus 3.5, Notre Dame minus 3, Wake Forest plus 5.5, Arizona minus 2.5, and then I'll slide Fresno in there as well. A lot of guys in Vegas think San Diego State is ripe for a fall. Fresno is better than people realize. Jeff Tedford has them playing really hard. San Diego State's lost last week. They could be done. They were thinking a New Year's Six bowl game. They had big aspirations, and when they got dropped last week, this could be a total letdown for them. So don't be surprised if Fresno shocks the world as well.
You know, Joe, I saw last week some sports books in Vegas, the college betting was actually more than the NFL betting, and it wasn't just by a few bucks, a couple hundred thousand in some of the sports books. I don't know if that was a one-off weekend, but it seemingly so far this season, there's much more interest and money being wagered on college football. So maybe the NFL has another issue, even though they don't believe gambling has a lot to do with their popularity.
You know, and there's a lot of intrigue in that because, for one, college football the last few weeks has not had any marquee slate. Like, this is the first week back where we've got two or three really big games we can get behind. USC and Notre Dame, you've got the big one between Penn State and Michigan. But the last few weeks, we've been devoid of that. College football came out hot. So to hear that is very intriguing. I also think part of that plays into the fact that the NFL has been wildly unpredictable this season. Mm-hmm. Last week we had three teams coming off the bye: Washington, Denver, and Atlanta. They're all playing at home. They're all off the bye. They're all double-digit favorites. Atlanta gets beat outright. Denver gets beat outright. And Washington needs every bit of 60 minutes to get by the Niners, but they don't end up covering. I think a lot of people are looking at that, and you're right. That the popularity's down a bit, and it's been so tough to wager that you look at college football, you at least get a lot of excitement when you lose. That Denver game, anyone who bet that, I bet that last week, anyone who bet the Broncos, you got no fun out of that. They were down early, and you never had a shot. At least with some of these Big 12 games and Pac-12 games, there's always an opportunity. They at least keep you excited. There's a lot of foreplay, as I like to say.
Wow.
What about the NFL? Are you just staying off then?
Oh, no, I'm of a degenerate. Course. I'll be playing the NFL. I like to take my Saturday winnings and then dump it right back to make the bookie feel good. So we break even and I lose the juice every week. Here's what we'll do with the NFL. We'll be very careful because, like I said, my college picks have been all right, but my NFL picks have been terrible. San Francisco +6 is going to be game number one. It's the first game home for the Niners in 4 weeks. You've got C.J. Beathard from Iowa getting the start. He's an upgrade over Brian Hoyer, believe it or not. This early in his career. And Kyle Shanahan, I've been calling it out here, the 49ers booster club. Because in college football, guys like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, they know that the boosters are betting them, and they pay attention to the spread, and they try to cover the number for the boosters. Kyle Shanahan's been covering the number for 49ers backers. They've covered the spread in 4 of their last 5. In fact, their last 5 losses have come by a combined 13 points. It's never happened in NFL history where a team's lost 5 games in a row by 3 or fewer points. But here are the Niners hanging tough. Dallas is an overrated football team. They're not a bad football team, but they're overrated with the point spread. 3-9 against the spread over the last 12 overall, 1-4 against the spread over the last 5 road dates. They're going to come into this game off the bye. They're going to lay 6. They've got the Zeke Elliott cloud hanging over the locker room, and defensively, they're a mess. They want to run the ball and keep the defense off the field, which is good when you're catching 6 points in a game like this. So we'll take the Niners +6. Game number 2 will be Denver as a pick'em at the Chargers. I can't believe this game's a pick'em. I know the Chargers have won 2 in a row, and they've done it against bad teams, beating the Giants and then beating the Raiders. But, I mean, in Denver, as bad as Trevor Siemian is, this is that total bounce-back spot. I mean, you were humiliated off the bye, at home, national television, against an 0-5 Giant team, and it wasn't even close. Like, this is going to be a good week of practice for the Broncos. I expect a big bounce back here. Defense should be very good, very stout in this game against the Chargers. So as a pick'em, we'll take the Broncos to win. Game number 3, Seattle and New York, over under a 40. I'm going to play the under in this game. The Giants just won their Super Bowl, and now that 0-16 is off the table, they're going to go right back into the tank. But I'm hesitant about laying points on the road with the Seahawks with the way that offense has played this season. So through the evaluations, you got a good Seahawks D that's rested. You got a pretty good Giant D. You got a Giant O that's going to go right back in the toilet. And you got a Seattle O that struggles a bit. I'm thinking under 40 total points in that one. And then game number 4 Monday night, Washington +5 at Philly. I grew up an hour from Philly. I grew up loving the Eagles. Everything about this game stinks. This is going to be your classic game where everyone points to the fact that the Eagles have had 11 days to get ready. Aaron Rodgers is hurt and out for the year, so everyone thinks the Eagles are going to win the NFC. Everyone loves this team. This is going to be your classic. 80% of the public is betting the Eagles. Nobody likes the Redskins, and nobody's going to pay attention to the fact that in their last 10 trips to Philly, Washington's covered 8 times. And Kirk Cousins, when he is in a divisional game as an underdog, 7-1 against the spread over his last 8. Give me the points with Washington. Give me the points with the Niners. Go under the total, Seattle, New York. Give me the Broncos straight up against the Chargers.
You're not betting the Bears. What's your thought off the top of your head?
they were the first team out. I like the Bears this week. I don't love them, but they're catching points at home. They've covered every spread at home this season. You got Carolina coming to town with no Luke Kuechly. That's a huge blow to the defense. Yep. I can see it being a sloppy game, an ugly game, but I would definitely take the Bears there. In fact, that's the first one out. I'm probably going to end up playing that game anyway.
Nice, Joe. All right, buddy. That's the way to do it. Follow you.
I just gave you guys 12 games.
Yeah,
I
know. You just gave us a bonus. Yeah.
Dustin's eyes are spinning in the back of his head.
He almost filled out his 10-team teaser.
I'm going to take 3 years off my life this weekend.
Joe, you're the best.
Thanks,
Joe. Thank you, pal.
See you, boys. Have a good one.
That's
our guy. Don't forget the Sharp 600 podcast on iTunes, our guy Joe Fortenbaugh.
Our visit with Joe brought to us by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves return home this Saturday and Sunday. Check them out.
Talked himself into the Bears, too.
Yeah, how about that? Why not?
Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.